The Rage with John Bowd on www.trexfm.org.
Welcome to another marvellous John Bowd's All The Rage. I think we're on a part two here, John. We're talking about hate speech again. I mean, really, you could do 24-hour set on or 24-hour show on hate speech or hate in general, because we certainly in the UK here, I must want tell our listeners, we're in a very, very, very divided society at the moment due to irresponsible politics. John, take it away.
Thank you, Dave. Hello, listeners. Welcome to the show. Recently in Britain, there's been some anniversary activity regarding the infamous Rivers of Blood speech. Delivered on the 20th of April 1968 by Conservative MP Enoch Powell, it was divisive from the off. And for some reason, people continue to talk about it today without really talking about it, if you get my meaning. The point of the speech was Powell's criticism of mass immigration from the Commonwealth. He knew what he was saying would upset, as he revealed in a comment made to journalist and editor friend Clement Jones before he made it. That comment was, quote, "I'm going to make a speech at the weekend, and it's going to go up fizz like a rocket, but whereas all rockets fall to earth, this one is going to stay up," unquote. He was specifically objecting to the Labour government's Race Relations Bill of 1968, which included provisions to make it illegal to refuse housing, employment or public services to people on the grounds of their colour, race, ethnic and national origins. Now, there's a lot of words written and said about this speech and the man who made it. I have no desire to add any unnecessary extras to this, but I will get a couple of things I think are important to say out on the show tonight. I will examine the speech directly because it needs to be shown where I think it is wholly wrong. The strangest thing to me has always been that Enoch Powell was completely wrong in everything he said in the Rivers of Blood speech. The most commonly quoted one is the following. In this country, that is Britain, in 15 or 20 years' time, the black man will hold the whip hand over the white man. Unquote. Britain was certainly a more overtly racist place in those days, but the very fact this statement still resonates for its fans is galling. Does it really need explaining? It's obviously completely false. Where is the whip? Where is the whip hand? Where are all the people of black and ethnic minority ethnicity who are in better jobs than the white population of Britain en masse? If whip hand means slavery, where are the white slaves? In actual fact, we have seen ideals of colonial rule very much in evidence, still in evidence in this country, a culture still suspicious and hateful of BAME people and other, quote, outsiders. And the quote was also not even directly from Powell. He claimed in the Rivers of Blood speech that it was from a constituent working in one of our nationalised industries. This ordinary decent Englishman, as he described him, felt the country was going down and wanted his children to leave for better lands, thereby his kids becoming immigrants. Every MP meets many constituents every week, as I'm sure is the same in other countries too, and the stories told to them that they repeat are a choice. Powell wanted to repeat this one because it suited his existing opinion of English people needing to remain superior to those from the Commonwealth. The speech was also overtly offensive. There are repeated insults and caricatures about black people in particular, interspersed with victim narratives about the, quote, native population, I think that means us white fellas, and assertions that areas in Wolverhampton have deteriorated purely because immigrants now live there. This was also where Powell used the infamous description of black children as, quote, charming, wide-grinned pickaninnies, unquote. You'll forgive me for using that term, everyone, but I think you need to hear exactly what was said in this speech. These wide-grinning pickaninnies were all incapable of speaking English, apparently, too. Later on, now Foreign Secretary Boris Johnson said something quite similar, too, we'll leave him for this week. Powell wanted only an immigrant population that would be dominated. Simple as that. Also in the speech, he quoted the poet Virgil. Powell said, quote, "As I look ahead, I'm filled with foreboding. Like the Roman, I seem to see the river Tiber foaming with much blood," unquote. rather poetic and it's depressing, doom-laden scenario, but beyond that, so what? It is surprising that this has lasted so long as a point of reference, because it does not really mean anything. And it's rather funny for someone who was keen on history to claim people from other lands could not come and settle in Britain. I think you might want to have a look at his history books again on that one. Powell was just as much reacting to the great changes of the 1960s at this time that conservatives, with both a big and a small C, have never really been comfortable with. The conservative doctrine has always hated freedom, and by this point it was obvious that the social controls of previous times were no longer going to work. Women, working class people, and ethnic minorities, among others, were no longer going to be deferential, and the disabled and homosexuals, as they were known then, were organising to improve their rights too. Powell was nothing more than an old racist, angry that Britain had lost its empire. He's even less relevant today, in my opinion. He tried to jump on the recurring lie of being a voice for the working class in some way. Even in those days, they, as I say, when the place was really very overtly racist. If you check out a lot of footage around about this time, even, and I'm sorry to say this, but I think even money in the trade union movement really failed on this point. And people were very openly using kind of language you wouldn't use today, saying that you know, that these people don't belong here, they should go away, we should close the border, all the kind of stuff you hear now. So I don't know why anyone has this idea that they're some kind of you know, ostracized, victimized group that aren't allowed to express themselves. It's insulting to intelligence, if nothing else. Anyway, Powell jumped on that bandwagon. But it was completely worthless coming from him, because he was an upper-class privileged boy all the way, and his career showed nothing but contempt for ordinary people. Check out his actions, or rather lack of them, regarding flamidohide during his time as health secretary. Quite shocking. He was also the kind of upper-class type that certain types of people in Britain love. That is, the type who told them their place. This need for a security felt only in having your life chances limited and told you are inferior to the rich is nothing more than self-hatred. This is where the modern version comes from too. Only these days we tend to have deference towards tax cheats and corporations. The Rivers of Blood speech was nothing more than fear of vengeance. The only use for studying it as an insight to the, is a, as an insight to the mindset of mid-20th century colonialism, where it had lost the culture war. This is an admission of the indecency of empire, in fact, this speech, and all the damage it did to people's lives, because running straight through it is the fear that they will come here and do the same to us that we did to them. In fact, after using immigrants to get jobs done, Powell now wanted to deport them, which is something never done without force. He ranted about immigrant children coming here in great numbers, uncontrolled, blah, blah, blah. The only thing that was frothing at this time was Powell's mouth, frankly. Right. Dave, do you want to jump in before we go to the music break?
Yeah, just on that, I do recall a 1,000 dockers after he was sacked by Edward Heath. 1,000 dockers and the meat market workers handed in letters of support of Enoch Powell. And I do recall, don't quote me on this, I do recall some of those people protesting in support of Enoch Powell was trade union members, although there were no trade union national officers there. But you did, I think trade unionism at that time did not miss a trick. I think they should have, a lot of what I'm a trade unionist myself, a lot of what we believe in now, equality, anti-fascism and stuff like that, I don't think it was that prevalent in the 60s in trade movements, John. I mean, would you concur? You did mention trade unions, and it maybe that's something that we didn't get into then.
Yeah, I completely agree. That is right. Look, like yourself, I'm a trade unionist and very, very happy to say that I am. But I don't lie about this. Back in the day, as it were, we missed the boat on a good few things. We caught up, but on a lot of stuff like LGBT rights, women in the workplace, ethnic minorities, etc. We took a while to get there, and you're right. There were people out protesting in favour of Powell, etc. Doing it at that point as part of the union. The dockers' union's always been an interesting one to me. I think there's a history to talk about in itself there, because back in further back in time, in Cable Street, The dockers were completely supportive of all the Jewish residents fighting against the British Union of fascists. So, and then by the 60s, there seemed to have been a bit of a change. I don't know if any official union leaders were in favour or against, but they certainly didn't go as strongly on the record against what was happening as they should have done. They should have been out and against Powell anyway. I mean, we got a lot more to say, obviously, on this speech for the rest of the evening, but really most of this is just about, I can't understand why working class people even imagine this bullshit's got anything to do with them, frankly. It's a disgrace.
Thank you very much, John. We'll be back after this lovely music break, but non-capitalistic, I might add.
John Bouts, all the rage, all the on Trax FM, Trax FM.
Don't. Here's what I want you all to do for me.
Bang. Caught you looking for the same thing. It's a new thing. Check out this I bring. Uh-oh, the rope below the level, cause I'm living low next to the base.
Come on.
Turn up the radio. They're claiming I'm a criminal. But now I wonder how. Some people never know. The enemy could be the Frank Guardian. I'm now a hooligan. I rock the party and clear all the madness. I'm not a racist priest to teach the
cause some they never had this.
Number one, never wanna run about the gun. I wasn't licensed to have one. The minute they see me, fear me. I'm the epitome, a public enemy. Used, abused without clues. I refuse to blow a fuse. They even had it on the news.
Don't believe the hype. Don't believe the hype. Don't believe the hype.
Yes. Was the start of my last jam, so here it is again, another death jam. But since I gave you all a little something that I knew you lacked, they still consider me a new jack. All the critics you can hang on my hold the rope, but they hope to the Pope and pray it ain't dope. The follower of Farrakhan, don't tell me that you understand until you hear the man. The book up the new school rap game, writers treat me like Coltrane, insane. Yes to them, but to me, I'm a different kind. We're brothers of the same mind, unblind, caught in the middle end, not surrendering. I don't rhyme for the sake of riddling. Some claim that I'm a smuggler. Some say I never heard of ya. A rap burglar, false media. We don't need it, do we?
It's fake, that's what it be to you, dig me? Yo, Terminator X, step up on the stand and show these people what time it is, boy. Don't believe the hype.
It's a sequel. As an equal, can I get this through to you? My 98 booming with a trunk of funk. All the jealous punk can't stop the dunk. Coming from the school of hard knocks. Some perpetrate, they drink Clorox. Attack the black because I know they lack exact the cold facts, and still they try to Xerox. The leader of the new school, uncool. Never played the fool, just made the rules. Remember there's a need to get alarm. Again I said I was a time bomb. In the daytime, radio scared of me, cause I'm mad, plus I'm the enemy. They can't come on and play me in prime time, cause I know the time, plus I'm getting mine. I get on the mix late in the night, they know I'm living right, so here goes the mic sight. Before I let it go, don't rush my show. You try to reach and grab at your elbow. Word to herb, yo, if you can't swing this, learn the words, you might sing this. Just a little bit of the taste of the bass for you. As you get up and dance at the LQ, with some deny it, defy it, I swing bolos. And then it clear the lane, I go solo. The meaning of all of that, the media is the whack. As you believe it's true, it blows me through the roof. Suckers, liars, give me a shovel. Some writers I know are damn devils. From them I say don't believe the hype.
Yo Chuck, they must be on the pipe, right?
Their pens and pads I snatch cause I've had it. I'm not an addict, fiend if for static. I see their tape recorder and I grab it.
No you can't have it back, silly rabbit.
I'm going to my media assassin, Harry Allen, I gotta ask him.
Yo Harry, you're a writer, are we that tight?
Don't believe the hype.
All to do for me. Don't believe it. Don't believe the hype. Don't believe it. Don't believe the hype.
I got flavor in all those things you know.
Yeah, boy, part two bum rush the show. Yo, Grip.
Get the green, black, and red in. Gold down, countdown, and Armageddon. 88, you wait, the S1s will. Put the effect and I still will.
Sound of a Public Enemy 1988 and Don't Believe the Hype. Can that record be even more relevant nowadays? Gordon Bennett. I'm going to pass you over back to John Baddie. We've been discussing, or he's been discussing, a very, very, I don't know, it meant a lot in the 60s, certainly in the 70s, we used to just think that Enoch Powell was racist, but you know what kids are like. Take it away, John.
Cheers, Dave. Two things to always remember about dear old Enoch. Number one, the story goes that Powell, as health secretary in 1960, brought over many of the immigrants of the Caribbean to work in the NHS. Now, this claim does need some examination. Many say that it is openly false, as the position of health secretary was not in charge of recruitment, and many of Powell's supporters, like the odious writer Simon Heffer, who wrote a biography of him, say this claim was all rubbish, and in fact, Enoch was always against immigration. So we're glad we cleared that one up. What is certain, however, is all the problems with immigration that Powell had in 1968 were not publicly voiced earlier, so he was happy for them to help the continuing work of building the NHS. He actually even said so in the Rivers of Blood speech. Many of the immigrants from the Caribbean are still a part of the NHS today, and I, for one, am very thankful for their service. Powell felt they could come here and train, then return to their countries of origin, all part of the Commonwealth, remember, which means they were British citizens. What this actually translates to in reality is a workforce who would be on trainee wages, meaning less than others, and used to fill positions needed in the ever-growing NHS. A brilliant socialist idea, let us not forget. Again, we see an example of Powell's attitude towards people of colour, that is, seeing them as inferior. Apparently, according to many, including my dear father, there is footage out there from a local news programme where I'm told Powell and another MP actually advocate the arrival of people from the Caribbean countries to work here, particularly on the buses. I can't actually find this footage at the moment. However, all the Rage listeners are very resourceful, so get on that, people. If you find it, send it to us. Number two, as we discussed already, his legendary Rivers of Blood speech was wrong. His predictions of bloodbaths were totally inaccurate, and this sounds today like what it was then, the gibbering ramblings of a deeply racist and paranoid man, clearly seeing that his time of dominance was ending. He dived straight into the argument so many people have against immigration. There are finite resources, always, and there will be some great injustice if any of them lot get any of it. Many of his supporters get annoyed when you point out their racism. Well, let's have a quick look at some of the people who do like and or defend the Rivers of Blood speech today. Just a very quick peruse on YouTube finds many videos with Union Jacks on the back of them and screaming titles about how Enoch was right, put up by people with other videos on their timelines attacking political correctness, praising known racists and Islamophobes, crying about threats to democracy, or how British culture is all doomed. There is no England now, says one video with shots of veiled Muslim ladies walking down the street, while another on the same page cries, take back our England! The only way to do this, according to one commentator, is war with Europa. Europa, I read that somewhere before. Oh no, that was Oceania, I'm sorry. One reflective video on the speech seems to be voiced by Douglas Murray, extreme right-wing Islamophobic speaker who has discussed how to solve the Muslim problem in the past and hates refugees, among his other great achievements in life. Other videos show the usual old footage of days gone by, etc. Lots of, you know, nicely dressed policemen helping children find their mothers or whatever else we used to do back in the 50s. This page in particular has subscribers that include Rebel Media. Many of you might know them for employing various extremists, such as the presently imprisoned Little Tommy and Katie Hopkins. A bloke, or I'm assuming it's a bloke, pardon me, who goes by the name Robin Hood UKIP. So not quite sure who he intends to steal from and who he intends to give it to. But I suspect it wouldn't exactly be a rich-poor ratio if most of the UKIP's base is in Goba. And another one named Angry Nativist, who on their own page flag anti-LGB videos, one particular having a pop about the gay people being accepted in the military, and has a song dedicated to the British Union of Fascists. Most of them tend to spend their time complaining about us lefties, subversives, destroying Great Britain, etc. And I must say, I really wish that I was at least half as effective as at cultural subversion as these bellends think I am, because I get a lot more done. Musical followers, believe it or not, yes, there is some music on there, include someone with a song called Free Tommy Robinson and another on the death of free speech. Plus, there are the usual gaggle of alt-right types and their usual ton of self-pity. And all of this in just one YouTube hole. I haven't actually listened to the songs yet. I couldn't bring myself to do it. But I do understand that there is a particular branch of electronic music now which is very alt-right and has actually been called Fashwave, which is very amusing, at least. Powell's argument was also fundamental to the ideals of the National Front, an undeniably racist organisation of street thugs who hijacked skinhead culture and pursued violent attacks against individuals and property owned by ethnic minorities in Britain throughout the 1970s up until roughly around about the 1990s. Their slogan was, "Keep Britain White." The speech caused fear at the time among British citizens too, from the countries concerned. British comedian Sanjeev Bhaskar once talked about how his family had their bags packed throughout much of the 1970s, just in case they were deported. This was a genuine, real fear that they and many others lived with. Also, a British Guyanese writer named Mike Phillips, OBE, said the speech, quote, "legitimised hostility," unquote, and even violence towards black Britons like himself. By 1968, many immigrants had begun to build their own place in British society, regardless of all the attempts to prevent them. Then there is the wealth of racist violence. Now, many will say that we do live in racially violent times, and this has got worse. Well, let's give this a little bit of examination too. For starters, we need to understand what qualifies as violence and attack. If you include verbal and other such hate crimes, these went up in Britain after the referendum on membership of the European Union in 2016, in which British citizens voted 52% to 48% to leave. The gov.uk site, among other places, has hate crime stats for 2016 and 17, and unsurprisingly, they went up during this period. Not by any great deal towards white English people, funnily enough, although violent crimes were not the highest in this group, it must be said. But what specifically of violence? You look at any attack on an ethnic minority, most commonly black men attacked by multiple whites, and say this somehow proves Powell's predictions and thesis without providing any empathetical evidence. The reason for racial tension here, and has often happened in many of the neighbourhoods which have been, quote, taken over, is that you, the white population, created it. The white nativist population is the one wielding the bat. Racial attacks come from white people towards ethnic minorities, including attacking Muslim women for their clothing and other such brave actions. These are the actions of gutless cowards, and they prove absolutely nothing. Anecdotal evidence from ethnic minorities, the LGBT community, and the differently abled community generally indicate things were much more violent commonly in the past, at least more overtly, despite the Brexit spike. Violence towards such groups now tends to be more legislated by government, despite changes put in by various Labour governments over the years to prevent this from happening. Okay, I'm up for a music break, Dave, if you want to chime in.
Bouts, all the rage, all the on Tracks FM, Tracks FM, Tracks FM, Tracks FM.
As I lie here, thinking of you, I realize that nothing is new.
Lying in my bed, thinking of you, I realize nothing is new. You say you love me, but want success.
Be alone. This is the sign of the times. Peace of more to come. This is the sign of the
Why do we go on with this useless love affair when it seems to me that you don't really care? I realize now nothing is new. Time to live my life without you.
And the Pearl Stars. I just let John know what we were playing. Because I was kind of worth scribbling in the background when John was talking about certainly things happened in the 60s and 70s and 80s. And I remember, he's talking about things that probably most of British society don't like talking about. It's not comfortable. And I remember the 80s, it was the Oscars or something, and they got Eddie Murphy to present probably for Beverly Hills Cop or something like that. And he mentioned about the auditorium that they were presenting this great Oscars ceremony, and he said, I'm getting an Oscar. And they ask people as they come out, the contestants or the audience, they ask Michael Caine and all the film stars at that time, and they refused to comment on it. They didn't comment on what Eddie Murphy said, you know, because it caused outrage then, you know, 1985. What do you think about what Eddie Murphy said? No comment.
Yeah.
No comment, you know, so.
Yeah.
Take it away, John.
Well, yeah, I mean, the minute you, I don't know if you could hear my sound in the background, the minute you said Michael Caine, I was like, ugh, that prick. He's such a Tory twat. I mean, he's always been, he's one of those people who's like, don't, you know, people in Hollywood who are talking about, you know, lack of representation for black people. You know, just sit back. It will come. You know, don't push it. You know, don't make us uncomfortable. Don't make people like me uncomfortable in any way. You know, just be nice and don't make me feel bad. Piss off, Michael. Sorry, I don't know if that's exactly what you were looking for, but anyway, going on. Speaking of very uptight blonde white blokes with glasses, David Starkey. Now, after the riots that began in London in August 2011, there were many similar ones throughout the country. A full discussion of these events is for another time, but specifically I want to discuss an edition of Newsnight, which for those of you outside of Britain is a BBC flagship news programme on about 10:30 most week, every weeknight, I think. And this particular edition went out in the week of the riots. It involved a small panel where, among other things, Starkey, who is supposedly a historian, who apparently specialises in being offensive to people he debates with, resurrected the ghost of Enoch Powell to discuss the riots. He found fault with the Rivers of Blood speech, but felt much of the basic point was right. In his view, riots could be categorised solely as down to the influence of Jamaican culture in Britain. Quote, "The whites have become black," unquote, is what he actually said. This was the nightmare of integration in reverse, as the death-loving criminality of Jamaican gangsters was now ruling the world of inner-city young people through music or films or whatever. He didn't bother to provide any evidence of this. Firstly, any historian should know very well that the history of rioting in this country goes back thousands of years in London alone, but this was never what his outburst was about. Starkey is a conservative and has all the aspects of that political and social outlook, despite being gay. He intentionally overlooks social issues and refuses to accept the legitimacy of black and ethnic minority culture in Britain. This is an aberration that is directly responsible for crime, violence, drug use, riots, and so on. So how do you then explain white people being involved in these riots, as if this were a totally new thing? Simple. In his words, acting black. A stuffy old man is never going to understand anything that the youth are doing or why, especially when one he's one who is so obsessed with royals and empire and all the associated racism that goes with that. But if the black is dominant in any way, it can only be negative, just the same way as powerful. To blame rioting in London on the influence of black culture is about as racist as you can be. But worst of all, he displays the lie that is at the heart of integration. It is only acceptable if you adhere to the dominant culture. That is, in Britain at this time, a white, mostly hetero land of an order that gives ethnic minorities no right of reply. Also, forget any idea you will form any of your own culture while you are here. You will be told what to do forever, and so will your descendants. Any cultural shift the other way is totally unacceptable. So again, like Powell's view, there is no place for the immigrant to take any prominence. Any cultural shift, including acceptance and or adoption of outside influences, is not accepted by this establishment. And I'm guessing that Mr. Starkey is no fan of grime, or even Lover's Rock for that matter. Seriously, dude, you don't know what you're missing. You know, there's some good stuff there. Okay, bringing us bang up to date with a very sudden, violent bang. The Windrush scandal, which happened recently here in Britain. We saw a scandal that would, in the words of journalist Ian McWhirter, have made Enoch Powell proud of Britain in 2018. A number of people from the Commonwealth, again, I underline British citizens, who had come to Britain on the Empire Windrush ship, were suddenly faced with their paperwork having been destroyed, which also affected their descendants. The result being that they were now considered to be residing illegally in Britain, meaning the country that many had lived in their whole lives was now denying them healthcare and housing, all of which they had contributed towards in working and paying taxes, etc., and in some cases, even jobs. Some of them were even deported, often to their parents' country of origin. The full breadth of this scandal has not quite been broken down entirely, but we know the things I've just mentioned, and I'm sure plenty more information will be on the way. It didn't end there, however, as Mr. McWhirter writes, and this is a quote from him, "The hostile environment didn't just affect the 50,000 or so Windrush generation. When Home Office vans started touring around London and advising them to go home, it wasn't just illegal immigrants who were demonised. The right to rent rules made landlords responsible for checking the immigration status of prospective renters and employees, turning them into a kind of immigrant police force. Landlords are bad enough, in my opinion. A more racist policy could scarcely be imagined. It meant automatic discrimination against foreigners, but in particular against people of colour who were the most obviously non-British, as it were. Countless British citizens have been subject to humiliating identity checks of a kind that you would expect in an authoritarian state. Domestic workers from overseas were even prevented from changing employer, a measure which Liberty said left them open to exploitation or destitution." End of his quote. It was indeed Enoch Powell's wet dream, and we have yet to actually have Brexit. As Mr. McWhirter pointed out in this article written for The Herald, upon the 50th anniversary of Rivers of Blood, we found out that Britain has a very racist immigration policy. This is Conservative Party ideology in action. This was Immigration Services creating a hostile environment as directed by Theresa May when she was Home Secretary. The practical enforcement of any policy against illegal immigrants is suspicion of all immigrants. Always the way. Next, we have Islamophobia in the Tory party, another story that is unfolding as we speak. We have recently seen a large number of Conservative Party members, including some MPs and supporters, making, or in the case of social media, often reposting Islamophobic comments, articles, and various paraphernalia. And this has been treated pretty much like business as usual. The Conservative Party's own Baroness Fazi has criticised the party for failing to properly hold to account members who have regularly made Islamophobic comments online and elsewhere. Although it should be said, some MPs have been suspended pending investigation on this, including, I believe, Bob Blackman, who's an MP local to our area. The journalist Owen Jones has done a very good job of tracking all of this on his Twitter page and has pushed Conservative Party chairman Brandon Lewis to act, but so far nothing has happened. Meanwhile, the press, who were losing their shit a couple of months ago about perceived anti-Semitism in the Labour Party, are rather quiet in comparison. In fact, they've barely reported it. Yes, I suppose we could pontificate on that while we go to a music break, unless you want to jump in, Dave?
No, John. I'm quite fascinated, actually. Yeah, I am fascinated. And I'm glad it is a follow-up to the hate speech pretty much when, about 3 weeks ago, maybe 4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, John. I'm going to play John his favourite tune next.
John Bouts, all the rage, all the on Tracks FM, Tracks FM, Tracks FM. John specifically asked for some tunes. He likes a bit of grime, likes a bit of hip hop as well. Certainly in the 80s and 90s hip hop child for sure. John Bowes, all the rage here on www.tracksfm.org. There's an idiot on at 8 o'clock. That's me. We're talking hate speech.
I'm glad John certainly discussed, and I don't think anyone's ever done it, discussed the famous Rivers of Blood speech by Enoch Powell. John, take it away.
Thanks, mate. Yes, Young Fathers with Rain or Shine, they're dedicated to David Starkey, if he's listening. Just a quick side issue, by the way, if anyone saw Young Fathers on Jules Holland's programme last week, and get it on the BBC iPlayer, oh, they were amazing, and you should go and see them live, because they are brilliant. Also, I just got contacted by far All the Rage's most beautiful listener, who reminded me that letting agents have also now been, they tried to give them the same powers as landlords to check people's immigration status. And that's before we even get onto parts of the NHS, where doctors and nurses are told to check the immigration status of people coming in for services, which means, among other things, we're going to get a situation a bit like they have in America now, where, frankly, truly fascist forces, and I don't say this lightly, like ICE, can just basically start snatching people off the streets and creating a great climate of fear, which actually means what you'll have is people who are under that level of fear accessing services a lot less, which means in the case of things like healthcare, they could become sick and cause more problems to themselves and even wider society. So think about that before you think it's fun to crack down on people's lives. Anyway, we'll start rounding this up now, and we'll come to a conclusion where I'll just sort of hark back on some of the things we've said over the better part of the last hour and what we can do going forward. The unavoidable factor of the Rivers of Blood speech is that it only applies if you believe people of colour and those from other countries do not belong in any permanent way in Britain. This speech was and will always remain racist to its very core. It identified certain people as a problem without argument, and then decided that rational action, such as deportation, was the only way forward. No talk of the effect any of this would have on people's lives, because Enoch Powell did not see black and ethnic minority people as worthy of these rights. I'd also like to point out, I don't think he felt the same way about working class people either, but you'd have to look at the whole of his career to see what I mean by that. Sadly, we see there is still a semi-popular embrace of the ideals behind Enoch Powell's Rivers of Blood speech, and many far-right extremist groups have never given up on their perception of a mythical past of Britain where they had power and prestige, and therefore feeling that this could only really exist in a whitewashed land. Many descendants of the Rivers generation, if you like, are also the followers of Little Tommy and form parts of the self-described free speech movements who are having a moment right now. However, they have repeatedly proven themselves not so great at upholding these very values. For instance, their free speech demos have included attacks against Muslim attendees, people choosing to wear Stand Up to Racism or pro-refugee badges, or anyone else they take a dislike to, among others. No doubt the scandals of how Windrush generation people have been treated and the emerging Islamophobia in the Conservative Party would be something they applaud. These people are not anyone that we need to worry about offending, along with the rest of the reactionaries. Just a quick note. If you think you should not say or do something for fear of appearing racist, that would be because you probably are. Let's cut the crap here. No one has a problem saying whatever they want, no matter how factually inaccurate or barefaced the lie might be. And they have no problem offending people different from them. They never have. It would do British society a great deal of good to look inward and criticise more often than looking outward right now. As I have said, I think Rivers of Blood is, above all, utter rubbish and incoherent. I am amazed anyone still discusses it, and it is clear that only through the actions of racists does it still have any place in our society, where the impact that it had was only to increase racism and intolerance. We still see black men murdered by police in far higher numbers than any other group, and the lack of accountability for this, among other things that happened to them by the police. We still hear stories of ethnic minorities being denied jobs, and as we saw recently, they are still under threat of active exclusion from society, no matter where they were born or how long they have been here. That is always the point to me, is whenever you enact any of these ideals of limiting immigration or promoting ideals of British culture, this is a result. it's always to look upon people, and it literally, it doesn't matter how long they've been, and it doesn't matter how many black friends you've got. It's these people who are looked upon in this way because they were always seen as foreigners. And much of this, I believe, can be traced back to rivers of blood, which is why we're talking about it this evening. People like Enoch Powell and his supporters just hate change and equality. This is a typical conservative reading of equality as meaning disenfranchisement for them. If, for instance, women, disabled people, LGBT and BAME people have equal rights, that means they no longer get to look down upon them, although it never stops them from doing so. So I'm not even sure what they're whining about. This viewpoint is totally useless for the vast majority of us. Ditch it now. We always do better together, and ignorance cannot produce anything, so therefore it will always lose. It is undeniable that Powell was popular at the time, but we have moved on, even if they haven't, and we need to keep moving. We should spend more time and energy trying to improve our control over our own everyday lives, not standing up for right-wing extremists who have been legitimately locked up for breaking the law. I think you all know who I mean. Rivers of Blood is untrue, never had any evidence to back it up, and time has proved it wrong. Remember it, if you must, as just a fear-soaked racist rant and piss on the grave of the vile reactionary scumfuck who made it. Ah, Dave, would you like to lighten the mood?
No. Ooh, what a follow-up, John.
Well, that's the conclusion.
I think the media, certainly politically, the media had their knives sharpened for opposition parties. And I'm not saying it because I'm a Labour voter. The fact of the matter is they had their knives sharpened on this anti-Semitism stuff. I'm not saying it doesn't exist in the Labour Party. I'm certainly saying it doesn't exist in the Conservative Party. And I do remember in the early 60s, a Conservative advert saying that if you vote Labour, we're going to be overrun by black people or something like that. This was in the 60s, and they were using that as a... Can you imagine Saatchi and Saatchi actually doing that now, you know? I should... That's wrong. That's so wrong what I just said.
Just to bring you up there, Dave, if the one you're talking about, I believe it was a Birmingham by-election, and it said, quote, if you want an N-word for a neighbour, vote Liberal or Labour.
Yeah, and if we look at, and you'd say, oh, well, that was the 60s, but people were horrified when they saw a film from the American, based in America in the 60s in the far south, called Mississippi Burning, which was, people shocked at that, and it won awards and everything. Again, you know, not many people said about it, and it's a true story, but it was happening worldwide. But look, anti-Semitism is not just anti-Semitism, it's racism. It's racism on all different races, okay? And I'm not saying for people to not say anything when you get bad people from abroad who rob and steal, because people from all walks of life rob and steal. But you shouldn't single it down just to that race. And I'm not saying don't complain about it, I'm just saying look at the whole chessboard, yeah? If you live in Harlesden, where I grew up, and it said 90% of crime in this borough is caused by black people, well, of course it is, because it's 100% population of black people.
Yeah, but I'm glad you bring that up, Dave, because that's something that never ceases to annoy me. Why is there an I mean, we kind of talked about this on the grooming show, didn't we? Why is there an exclusion for particular people of one ethnic origin or another about the idea? I mean, plenty of people steal, as you said, but why, somehow, if they're from abroad or if they're of a different colour to you, it's somehow just that little bit worse. Why? Well, I don't understand that viewpoint. It's
maybe just ridiculous. Maybe it makes the news, John, but I'll tell you something. In the 70s, 80s, 90s, 21st century, we spoke many times about paedophilia, and certainly, but no one ever mentions Jimmy Savile or...
you mean that noted Muslim cleric Jimmy Savile?
Yeah,
I remember him. Yeah.
You know, no one mentions that, you know. Look, paedophilia is paedophilia. You can put it in any colour you want. It's just, it happens, yeah? It just, you know... And I watched an amazing YouTube clip on Ocala, a really good rapper, where he said that there's a myth that racism exists or started in the working class. His speech at that time, it said it starts at the top, at the academic, the people you would say are really clever, and it trickles down. And in fact, what he said is working class people, as far back as he could remember, always stuck together regardless of your colour. So I think in the 40s the miners back then were digging coal with Albanians, for example, and they stuck together, you know. So look at the whole chessboard is what I'm saying, John.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, to pick up a couple of points there. Firstly, we'll talk a little bit about that, both that working class history and also the roots of fascism, which is always further up the class scale, when we do our show on Antifa, which is coming up some point in the future, probably July. Also on anti-Semitism, yeah, I mean, look, all hatred is hatred. We do have to examine these things specifically, absolutely, because you have to. That's the better way of understanding them and combating them. And there will be a show specifically on anti-Semitism. I haven't done it yet because I need to talk to some specific people, and I haven't had time to sit down with them yet. But I will do that one. Akala is another example of someone who. I think on our upcoming show on British culture, he will have a very prominent position because I think he's someone we can hold up as a really great example of someone who is making great cultural strides today. I would also recommend listeners check out his YouTube, I believe it's on YouTube, interview he did with Ash Sarkar talking about his new book, Natives, and gives us a quick history lesson in 20 minutes, which he is very, very clever at doing. So, yeah, it's a good example. I mean, this stuff is the same divisive crap it's always been. When we know our history better, we know this. And when we have our interests at heart, we have our interests most firmly in our sights, we know they are the interests of ourselves and those around us. And the best way to achieve them is through joint action. It's through grassroots organizing. It's through trade unions. It's through independent groups. It's how we get justice. Look at Hillsborough, look at the Stephen Lawrence family, look at All Grief, Truth and Justice, which is still going on, among other things. And I'm sorry to say, you'll probably have to look to the Grenfell campaign too, because I doubt that's going to have the resolution that it requires anytime soon. I hope I'm wrong about that. I hope that comes a lot quicker than I am expecting it to. But I suspect it will be a much tougher fight. And again, you know, we are, whether anyone likes it or not, you know, I've always found it annoying that people talk about multiculturalism and government policy. Listen, there's one thing to say about this. Governments respond to multiculturalism, okay? And they respond to it because this is the way we want to live. No one, or the vast majority of people, don't want to work in a workplace where they know that someone next to them who happens to be black is getting paid less than them, or someone came to the door for a new job which they know is available, which they're working, you know, extra time to try and fill that position. They want someone to be employed, but they're told, no, you can't work here because you're Asian, or you can't work here because you're gay, or something like that. No one wants to, you know, you can't work here because you're Jewish. No one wants to work in that. But yeah, there's types of people, but we don't pay attention to them. No, multiculturalism is a response because it's how we live. We mix. We get together. We trade cultures. We trade bodily fluids if we're in a good mood. You know, we do this kind of stuff. It's just not your life. I suppose that's what I'm trying to say to people. You know, rivers of blood has got nothing to do with your life. It's not in the lives of the majority.
We've lost John temporarily. He'll be back, don't worry. I haven't gagged him or anything.
John Bouts, all the rage, all the on Tracks FM, Tracks FM, Tracks FM.
Escucha lo que te canto, pero no confundí, es de paz lo que canto. Que me habla de... batalla, pero que poco nos enseñan de amor.
Discriminar, eso no está nada bien. Ante los ojos de Dios todos somos iguales.
Sos el que hace la guerra, dicta falsas condenas. El que ama la violencia, que no tiene conciencia.
Malbico and Los Fabulosos. We're going to play that for another interview. Interviewee has picked certain songs, so that's fine. But we're going to play it again. John Brown's All the Rage. We're talking about Hate Speech Part 2. We discuss Enoch Powell. And John, before he unfortunately got cut off, was saying multiculturalism, politics needs it. John, take it away.
Yes, apparently my shit is so revolutionary that I blew up Skype. Okay, so I'm not quite sure where you lost me, but I'll start again. What I was basically saying was I don't like the idea people say that multiculturalism is something that governments put in place. It's not. It's something that people put in place by their actions. We mix together. We hang out together, as I mentioned. We trade cultures, and we like living together. The vast majority of us like living together. That's what, and what government does is respond to that. Because they can't live in a society, you know. Where, I mean, it's a bit like with environmentalism. You know, back in the early 80s, that was a fringe idea. Climate change was something no one was really worried about and things like that. Now, every political party, main political party, has something in their manifestos about climate change all the time. So, you know, that's the reality of the world that we live in. We are a multicultural society, and all of this, just this hate-filled reactionary bile of like rivers of blood, you know, from the decrepit, worthless old bastard that delivered it. Just drop that. You don't need it. It's got nothing to do with that. If just do me one favor, folks, if you're listening, right, just think about the rivers of blood speech in closing to the show tonight. Just have a little think about it, and think about how any of the stuff that's in there has anything to do with your life. It really. I would be surprised if you actually found, if you're completely honest with yourself, that any immigrants ever nicked a job off you, any service has been denied you, blah, blah, blah. I just think it's crap. But hey, let us know if you feel differently at All the Rage. Cheers, Dave.
Thank you very much, John. More of the same next week. Thank you very much, John.
All the Rage with John Bowd. www.tracksfm.org.